and then I can take it from there. Awesome. So, a few months back now, we had a combined prayer and praise night at Marion Church of Christ. It's about 100 metres in that direction, and it was an ultra-exciting time. And those that went, there was such a palpable presence of God. There was such a joy in the place. And so as pastors, we thought, yeah, God's on this. We need to do this again. And so November the 5th, a Friday evening, doors open at 7 and it starts at 7:30 and goes till 8:30. And then there'll be supper to follow that time. And so we can actually connect with the other congregations. So the one here, the Redeemed Church, Christian Church of God, they go there as well. They're coming along, as well as Marion Church of Christ. So be there. There's also an RSVP if you could let us know by November 2nd so they can cater and make sure everything's set up enough for the numbers. But I really would encourage you to come. When we met for prayer earlier, I think this week with the pastors, afterwards I went, oh, wow, like God was really on that time and on this whole preparation. So don't miss out because it's going to be a great time. Okay, so today we're starting our next preaching series. And I was just going to invite Angus and Eve. Maybe you can come back in the congregation because everything's set and we're going to have a bit of interaction time. So maybe you can come and join us. That'd be great. So for the rest of this month of October and till the end of November, we're going to go through Ephesians. And so we're pretty excited to be doing that. This afternoon I'm going to be looking, I'm actually going to do chapters 1 to 3. There are 6 chapters. But this is kind of the preempting of the second half because that's really about how do we live this out. And so I'll be trying to encapsulate chapters 1 to 3. And for this afternoon, the topic of what we're really aiming for is to understand the eternal purpose of God. Because I reckon when we can understand what is God's key thing that he's really looking to achieve, it kind of think, okay, now I know how to align myself, I know what to do, let's go for it, God, because we're all for wanting to be in your goodwill and your good purpose for us and your plans for this world. So we're going to uncover God's eternal purpose for us, which is pretty exciting. So if we're going to talk about Ephesians, we need to talk, and Paul writes a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he does that some years later after having visited there. So prior to the letter, he spent time in Ephesus, and he spent 3 to 3.5 years in Ephesus, and that's the longest time that he spent anywhere in his missionary journey. So that's pretty interesting already. Why did he spend so much time there? Obviously, God asked him to because he only went where God asked him to. So God had a special assignment for him to be there. And so let's look a little bit about what Ephesus was like. So it was a really huge city, 250,000. It was the second most populated city at that time, Rome being the first. It was the trade centre of the ancient world. It had a huge outdoor theatre called the Great Theatre, and it held 25,000 people. It's pretty impressive. And, of course, it had this huge temple. It was massive, and it was dedicated to the goddess of Artemis, also named Diana. And it was so huge. I mean, it was massive. I've heard it said that it's 2 times a football field. It was huge. And it's one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. So for people living back at that time, Ephesus was the place to be. If you want to go where the action is, you go to Ephesus because it's all happening there. So they were a draw card to all the nations and cities surrounding them to come and, come and hang out at Ephesus. So it was a great place for Christians to go because it was a great hub of activity. But also with this huge temple there, it was also a great hub for demonic activity, and Satan had a great foothold in that city, in all of the abundance and luxury they had, and a lot of, you know, immorality that goes with the temple worship that is often talked about. So, okay, that's a bit about Ephesus. So now we want to look a bit about Paul's time in Ephesus, and that is unpacked for us in the book of Acts in chapter 19. And the author of that book is Luke, who's a doctor and who travels with Paul. He's a companion to him. And so he's a doctor. And so doctors are a little bit on the sciencey side, like to be methodical and in detail. And so he wants to make sure he brings out what is really important for the reader, being someone who would think in a sequential, methodical type of way. And so it's really interesting, the first thing that he talks about then in Paul coming to this huge city is this. He wants believers to know and to ensure that they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing, straight off the first cab off the rank is knowing about the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Luke wants to make clear that the Christian faith isn't just about knowing stuff. It's an experience, and it's an experience of the Holy Spirit. And it's something you know about. If you've got the Holy Spirit, it's not something you don't doubt. You're experiencing that because you're experiencing God's presence and his love. And it will be something that you hadn't experienced before. So if we look at a few verses there, Paul comes up to a small crowd of 12 people, and he says to them, you know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So it's funny, I've never asked that to someone when I'm wanting to know if they're a Christian or not. Oh, did you receive the Holy Spirit? It's more like, well, what do you think about who is Jesus to you? You know, I want to know about what they think about Jesus, what he did, and all that's important. But for Luke, he's making it really clear that a part of our conversion and our saying yes to Jesus is receiving the Holy Spirit. And so these people said, oh, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul asked them, he goes on, what baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. And he said, oh, that's about repentance. So then he talked to them about believing in Jesus, the one that came after John the Baptist. And so on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus. And then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So really interesting. We need to know who Jesus is and have faith in him. But it's a part of our Christian life is that we also receive the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted you to sort of maybe talk to maybe the person behind you or in front of you and just think about this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Because I think it's important that we ask ourselves these questions. And are you assured of this? Or are you thinking, oh, I'm not really sure? What's been your experience? Would you like to have that assurance that you have received the Holy Spirit? And if you have received the Holy Spirit and you do speak in tongues, are you practicing that beautiful gift that God's given you of speaking in tongues? Because Paul says we have that gift to edify ourselves and to build ourselves up. So just for the next 1 minute or 1 minute and a half, talk to the person in front, beside, maybe someone different than your partner, and have asked that question. Okay, some great conversations happening there. I'm going to ask you to turn your chairs around here because we might pursue that a bit more later on. So really interesting. Paul comes into Ephesus. The first thing we hear about is, did you receive the Holy Spirit? The importance of Holy Spirit in our Christian experience, in our Christian life and walk. Okay, what's the second thing that Paul does? And I've said, what's the second thing he does? He starts gathering the troops. A bit weird really, isn't it? Why say troops, Maria? Because what Luke really unpacks for us, and certainly Paul does in his letter to the Ephesians, is that we're in a battle, a spiritual battle. So as we become believers, so he's bringing people into the kingdom, wanting them to be believers, but as believers, we are troops in God's army. And so I just wanted to highlight that this afternoon. Something I find that God's always, we'll pretend I've got the buzz cut as well, okay? That would be a bit freaky. Anyway, I think what God is always wanting to do is trying to blow our minds a bit, shake us up to help us to consider how we see ourselves. Do you see yourself as one of God's troops in his army? But let us move on because that will be unpacked a bit more. So, okay, we need the Holy Spirit. Second thing, he brings teaching. And he goes to the synagogue first for 3 months to talk to the Jews because they were really keen to have him in. But after 3 months, quite a few became hard-hearted. And he just thought, yep, and they didn't want him there. He didn't want to be there. He moved out. And so he started teaching in the marketplace. And he did this for two years. In the marketplace, teaching and discussing, really thrashing this stuff out. So it says Paul did this for 2 years. And the result of that was all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wow, this is catchy stuff. When you start hearing the truth of God, wow, this is great. I want to tell someone else. And it kept going. But not only did he teach, he was also great for showing and telling what God is like. And Luke says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Wow. God showed up in extraordinary ways. So much so that Paul just had to touch physical things like a handkerchief or a tissue and an apron, a piece of clothing. And people would take that to the people that they knew were sick. And they touched them, they got healed. If they were had demons in them, they would touch these things and be delivered from demons. Totally amazing. So all of this now starts to show a great picture of, yeah, we need the Holy Spirit, but we need to be grounded in the Word. See that he does that consistently and daily for 2 years to get people grounded in God's truth. So my next question that you can spend 90 seconds discussing, what strategies then, if it's that important, and Luke is trying to be really clear about what's important, what strategies do you and I have in place to keep rooted deeply in the truth of God? What strategies could you develop to get even better or more rooted deeply into God's word? And can others help you? You're not alone. We're here together. Okay, 90 seconds. Think about that. Talk about that. Okay, I probably gave you 2.5 minutes there. I'm being feeling very generous this afternoon. We'll keep talking about this later, I think. Okay, so we have the importance of the Holy Spirit. We have the importance of being really grounded. I mean, daily getting into the Word, threshing it out, getting it deeply rooted into our lives. So important. And also that it's not just about knowing, it's about the Holy Spirit working out through our lives in wonders, in miracles, in the Holy Spirit doing whatever it is that God wants us to be doing at that time. Interesting that Luke, in this whole chapter of Paul's time in Ephesus, wants to really show clearly that we are in this spiritual battle. We're in a clash of kingdoms, and we can feel the brunt of that. Of course, God's kingdom is far outweighs the power of Satan's kingdom, but compared to our humanness, if we remain in that earthly state, we're going to really feel some backlash from the enemy if we're not keeping rooted in the truth of God and in relationship with Him. So it's interesting, people were looking at what Paul was doing, and there were a group of Jews who were in Ephesus who also liked to go around and cast demons out of people. I don't know how they did that. I don't think they knew who Jesus was, though, but they saw Paul and they thought, oh, he's got a good formula. We'll, you know, invoke the name of Jesus and do this thing. So they try and do that, but very unsuccessfully. And not only did the man not get delivered, but then turned on them. And it says that as they're trying to deliver this man, the evil spirit speaks to these seven guys who were trying to give this a go. And he said, and the evil spirit says to them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Whoa, that was a confrontation. That was a real clash of kingdoms where they came off second best. And wow, you know what? When we really realise that we're in this cosmic battle, when we see it unfolding around us, it wakes us up to the reality that there is an unseen reality greater than what's around us, that we're a part of God's kingdom, and being a part of God's kingdom of light, we stand in opposition to the kingdom of darkness. Paul talks about the fact that there is the spirit of the air, which is everywhere, and the spirit of the air is at work in those who are disobedient, who are not in alignment with God, who aren't Christians. So it's all around us, and it's still all around us. But it's very easy for us to stay in this natural, earthly mindset and get distracted from the unseen reality and awesomeness that we're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within us. Our journey, we need to remember here on earth is to be by the Spirit and by God's truth, by faith, walking in His truth. Timothy was one of Paul's disciples, and Paul wrote to Timothy because he asked Timothy, can you please work in Ephesus? And he said to Timothy, endure hardship like a good soldier. Of course you're going to go through hard times, but be like a good soldier. I was thinking today about, you know, soldiers in World War II and those horrible trenches. You know, I would have been, if I was there, I would think, gee, I'd just love to go home right now and put my feet up and put on Netflix and have my cup of tea. That's not an option when you're in war. Endure hardship like a good soldier, because God is asking you to move. And he said, don't get involved in civilian affairs. Don't let the things of this world, earthly stuff, get you distracted. But live to please your commanding officer, Jesus Christ. We need to remember that we are aliens passing through this earthly life. But while we're here, we're in a cosmic battle and we're on the winning side. All right, but so once we realise that, you know, this is actually happening, and when the people of Ephesus or the Christians saw what was going on with the delivered guy or the non-delivered guy bashing up those who were trying to, wow, it had an impact. They were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honour. They thought, wow, there is a battle, and I know that God's got the victory here. And they chose to honour God once again, openly confess their evil deeds. And a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. So they weren't ashamed anymore to say, hey, I actually stand for Jesus. I really recognise I've been on the wrong track here. I'm really sorry, God. And I'm going to give you all the stuff. And we have stuff now that would really align with the kingdom of darkness more than the kingdom of light, you know. Maybe there's some stuff in our lives that we need to bring out and say, yeah, I don't want this anymore, get rid of it. And they did it publicly. They weren't ashamed to say that Jesus is their Lord. So when we're really aware that we're in this cosmic battle, it makes us real with our faith. And we want to get on with it and live the life that God has really called us to. Are you awake? Am I awake? Am I awake to what we're really in? Let's not lose sight of the reality that we are in. So Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, and it's to address issues. He does it when he's in prison. He's in Rome now. His heart is for people that he's really served for. And he wants to address issues. And one of the issues that we find out in Acts 20 when he talks to some of the elders later on is that, you know, all this great work's been done. People are coming to the Lord, but be careful because there will be false teachers coming in who will try to distort the truth. So don't forget what I've said to you. The Holy Spirit, make sure you know that you're fully empowered with the presence of God in your life. You're transferred from one kingdom to another, and keep God's truth alive in your lives, in your minds, in your hearts, that you won't get pulled astray. So if we look at the letter of Ephesians from 1 to 3, Paul starts with so much encouragement. He's reminding them of what he's talked about. So he brings a lot of encouragement, and he says in his letter to the Romans that, you know, everything in Scripture is for our encouragement. The encouragement of the Scriptures, you know, soak it in so that you can have hope. You don't lose sight of the eternal hope you're called to. So he brings lots of encouragement. Don't forget. Don't forget God's truth. We've got every spiritual blessing. So that means everything, we have access to everything that we need to walk like Jesus on this earth. He's always intended for us to be set apart, to live blameless lives through faith in Jesus and empowered by the Spirit. We are full heirs with Jesus Christ. So everything he's got access to, we do. We have his authority. And it's all by God's grace. Nothing by who we are or what we've done. It's all because God is madly in love with us. He's, as the worship team were singing earlier, it's all because of his love and his beautiful grace. And having believed in Christ that we have received the Holy Spirit, that we have been transferred from one kingdom to another, awesome. And no matter your ethnicity, your past, that we are all one body, all part of God's family and household through faith in Jesus. How wonderful is that? The next things he does in his letter between the first three chapters is to be encouraged by the truth and what to keep doing. Don't forget that you've got the Holy Spirit. And he's alive in you. God's presence is with you. So make sure you keep learning about and knowing about God, because that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, to lead you into all truth about who God is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the power and presence of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And you have the authority of Jesus, and it's far outweighs anything that Satan and his kingdom would want to throw at you. And really, don't forget the importance of the church in which Holy Spirit dwells. And where a dwelling, it says that, you know, God is building up. And in this building, in this body, dwells the Holy Spirit. So please read the first three chapters, because at the end, in chapter 3, we get to the crux. Then Paul reveals what God is doing and has always planned to do, God's eternal purpose. He opens that up for us. And so in Ephesians 3:10 it starts, God's intent was now through the church. Do you love what God loves? Do you want to love what God loves? Jesus, God loves the church. He's always designed that it be his vehicle for action in this earth. So love the church. If you love the church, how does that look like? What does that look like in day-to-day life? Would it mean that you prioritize your time and your energy so that when it comes to meet with the church, his people, his vehicle for action, that you've make sure that you're there, that you can't wait until you meet with other Christians so you can share the blessings that you know of God, that you can work together to bring his light into the context that you're in? Will it mean that, and I'm not playing, wanting to condemn, I'm wanting us to think about this because I think about it too. You know, will it mean that we get here early or at least on time because we can't wait to see everyone and we want to talk and connect? We want to be here to encourage one another, because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about everyone else that's here, the new person that comes. Do they know the goodness of God? Can I encourage them in some way? Can I come early so that I respect the people that have come early to prepare and lead us in worship? They've spent time. They've already been here much earlier than all of us. What will it look like if we love the church? If we love the church? Because God loves the church. So his intent was now, through the church, not just individuals, but the church, all of us coming together, the manifold wisdom of God be made known. Ooh, the multivarious, multi-layered wisdom of God will be made known to whom? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, to the kingdom of darkness, all the authorities and levels within that. God wants to show off his beautiful children, his church, to his enemies, to our enemies, to say, they're mine. He does this according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why faith in Jesus Christ is so pivotal. And this is the manifold wisdom of God, that now in Christ and through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Awesome. That God's eternal purpose was that we always be restored in wonderful relationship with God. And that as much as Satan's tried to stop that, he's saying, ha-ha, no, because Jesus has done it all on the cross and he said it's finished and it's done and these are my children. This is my church that I love, and that's his eternal purpose. And what's really exciting is now that if we go to the book of Revelation, where John is taken up into heaven and Jesus speaks to him and gives him a report card of the churches. So in Revelation 2, it begins with the church of Ephesus and how they did in their earthly life here, trying to flesh out God's kingdom here on earth. And it starts off by saying, yes, you were so good at getting rid of those false teachers. Paul asked you to do that and you did that. Fantastic. But I'm so sorry you forgot your first love. You forgot that I'm the one that's madly in love with you. You've stopped being madly in love with me. And then he said, well, look, but if you can hear what I'm saying and if you change my ways, then you'll get to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You'll get full access to God because the tree of life is eternal life, fullness of life. God's eternal purpose for us to have eternal life with him in his presence. And Jesus came saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. He's given us the gate back into God's presence forever to have that restored relationship with God, which is God's eternal purpose for us. But the way to it, which is what the Ephesians lost, was loving and worshipping God. It's so paramount in our Christian walk and in our the cosmic battle that we're in. So with Paul, he's highlighted, well, in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit. Know that you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't know, come to this afternoon and don't leave without that assurance. That you be grounded in the Word of God. If you're not grounded in God's truth, you're going to get blown all over the place. But it's not just about up here, it's about in here. Because when you get grounded in the Word, you get so excited for God. Your love for Him explodes because you see His goodness just pour out of the page into your heart and you say, yes and amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's God's heart for us to be fully restored to relate with God in freedom and in confidence. Are you experiencing freedom and confidence today in your walk with the Lord? That's His eternal purpose and plan for you. To be fully restored, to take back our identity and our authority and mission to image God in this world, to shine Jesus, the glory of God, into a dark world in which we live. We thank you, Lord. God really wants to rearrange our brains. And to do that, we need to, as Romans 12:1 says, we need to continually be dying. Dying to what we think is right. Dying to our priorities, our mindsets that aren't right, really in alignment, as Mel was saying in her communion. Sometimes we can just be a bit off. And God's saying, hey, just bring that back to me again. He's not here to condemn us. It's always a beautiful invitation of love to life, to fullness. So maybe there are some mindsets and priorities because, as I was saying before, about loving the church. If you find it difficult to get to church, well, that's interesting too. You know, it'd be good to ask, oh, why is that? Why is it that sometimes other things come up? What needs to, is there something you want to change in my thinking about that? So we're just going to have, can we just have one song that you can choose a song? And what I want us to do is just to allow Holy Spirit to really minister to our hearts. And I want us to be open this afternoon to not leave the way that we've come in, but to be encouraged, because Paul wants, as he's written, he wants us to be encouraged in the truth. So maybe this afternoon you might want to receive prayer to know that you have the Holy Spirit or to receive the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you want to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. Great gift, Paul says. He loves that he's got that. Maybe you want to receive greater passion for his word, for Jesus, for his church. So let's just be in the Lord's presence as we sing. Let's be upstanding. Thank you, Lord. We invite you into this space. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you that you're here to minister, to lead us on to deeper levels of life in you, freedom. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.